Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Depart from John's writings here just for a bit today for the occasion. In just a few moments, we will commission our mission team to go out, to be sent out, basically, to do the work of the gospel on your behalf. Genesis chapter 12, first nine verses. Very familiar passage to many of you. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree in Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now, as I said in the children's message, there are those who would say this is the first missionary. This is the first gentleman. This is the first person we have in our text that was literally called out from where they were to go to someplace differently. With a particular intent and a particular purpose. There's a couple of points I would like to make here this morning for those who are in the work of missions, such as we are doing today, but with a sight on the larger picture of which I pray for with the children. I do pray often that this church send out a missionary, that we do one day, and I pray soon, send out someone from this congregation to full-time mission work. This passage would be one that would lead that person in that way, understanding what is happening here. First of all, Abram was 75 years old. 75 years old. Now, there are those who will say, well, yeah, that's the Old Testament, so that's really not that old. People were living to be several hundred years old back in this time. Well, that's true, but don't bypass that too quickly. As you see in the other stories of Abraham, he was an old man. He thought he was so old that his wife Sarai could not have children. So age is a factor here. Those of you with gray hair, you're not too old to go. And we have a gentleman going with us this week who will work all of us to a frazzle. Isn't that right, Lynn? How old are you, brother? How old are you? 78. He's older than Abraham. And he literally will work us to a frazzle. So thank you, Lynn. But the point is that the call cannot come too late. It will come at the right time. That's right. But there's a couple of things I want you to understand about this passage. Many times we look at this passage and say, this is the founding of the nation of Israel. It is God's promise to Abraham to go populate the earth, to go and find this land that he's giving him, and that become the nation of Israel. And then we quickly move from the Abraham story into that story of the finding of the nation of Israel. This morning, I want to look personally at the story of Abram. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Abram. As we look into this story, a couple of things. First of all, what God called on Abram to do and how it impacted him personally. First of all, the Lord said to Abram, leave. In verse 4, so Abram left. Abram was a man who was raised in the land of the Chaldeans in a town called Ur. And I think it ironic with what we are facing today, but that the father, the spiritual father of our faith, is in the heritage of the Iraqi country. Because Ur is what we would call today in the south central portion of Iraq. Kind of ironic. But the point is that Abram left. Abram left his comfort. He was a city dweller. He was not a nomad. He was not one who traveled about the desert. He was one who had residence and had family and belongings, had great wealth in his father's household there in that land. And when the call came from God to go, he left. He didn't let any of that stand in his way of answering the call of God. How many of us have said, you know, I can't go because of so-and-so. I can't go because of X. Now, I know many of those are very viable and good reasons. But please be careful that we don't let our comfort be a hindrance when it's time to go. The call came and he went. What did God call on him to do? Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, I didn't count the number of times you was said in those two verses. But note the personality, the personable nature of this call. God was talking to Abram, the person. God was talking to Abram, the person. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you a blessing to others. I will make your name great. He is talking to the man Abram and saying, Abram, when you go, you will gain great benefit out of this. How many of you who have been on a short-term missions trip have said, I come back with a greater blessing than what I gave? Thank you. Every time. Every time. Folks, missions work is personal. It is personal. It's giving from the very heart. It's giving from the very person. Now, we go to help the others. We'll go build someone a house in Biloxi this week. And they will be touched. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But first of all, we need to understand the person that's going. God intends for you to be blessed when you leave to do his work. God said to Abram, I will bless you and I will provide for you and your name will be great. Now, I don't expect Tim's name to be great going to Biloxi. I don't even want them to remember my name. But I know the people that go will be blessed in measures you cannot even fathom because you go. But also in this, there is protection. There is protection. I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. So God is saying, I will walk step by step with you into this foreign country. I will go where you are going. Actually, I will go ahead of you where you are going, and I will take care of those who intend to harm you. Folks, how much fear is there in a family headed to Pakistan today? When I was reading this passage, I could not help but think of Scott and Joanne Armistead. You remember the gentleman who came and played the piano for us so beautifully several years ago? Him and his small children and his wife went to Pakistan. And he told me that that is where he intends to bury his children. That is where he intends to bury his wife, in that region. Because he knows that's where God's called him, and he's willing
to make that sacrifice. And he knows God will provide. God makes the way. God opens the door. He prepares and he protects. How many of us are apprehensive about going to Biloxi? We don't know what we will face. When we were there back in the fall, the house that my particular team was working on, and two houses down, I think it was, drug sales were going on. There were young men standing out front most of the day. Cars would come, a transaction was made, and they would drive off. I saw a lady up the street driving a very nice car into this neighborhood, and this is not a neighborhood where typically that would be the case. Dressed just like you are right now, got out of the car, went into the home, stayed 5 minutes, came back out, and got in her car and left. Now, I have no clue what that is, but I would dare say it was drug-related. We're working in neighborhoods where drugs are being sold, where there are shootings, where there are people who don't obey the laws as well as you and I do. So there's apprehension. There's safety for my wife. There's safety for your children that go. Those are concerns, but they can't stop us. That shouldn't stop us from going. The apprehensions are going to be there. God says, I will curse those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. You simply have to answer the call to go. So at first, Abram's call here is very personal. It is very personal to him that he will be blessed and will be a blessing. But then the second thing, what did he tell him? What did God tell him he was going to do as far as the land was concerned? I'm going to give you this land. What did Abram see? Canaanites. The Canaanites. This was a group of people who were fighters, who were warriors, who fought and defended their land. And so here is an aspect of fear that Abram had, that every one of you who enter into the mission field will have. But what are we doing as we go to Biloxi? What are we doing as we go and share the gospel of Christ to the people? We are affecting the people, and they're in turn affecting the land. Just as God said, this land will be yours. He promised it to him for the nation of Israel. When we go to Biloxi, a piece of land will be secured for God. But we have to understand what land means. It's a very pregnant term. Land means the land, but it also means peace. It also means a peace of settlement. It also means a place of security because God is there. When we go and share the message of Christ with the people of Biloxi, Samaritan's Purse asks us to wear T-shirts that has their name on it on the front and back. And they do that with purpose because they want the neighborhood to see that God is there. We very rarely wear our own T-shirts because they give us three every time when we get there. They want us to wear the T-shirt. They want us to be visible. They want the people to see that God is working there through Samaritan's Purse in this case. There's many agencies there. This concept of securing the land for God is bigger than just taking a piece of real estate. It has the sense of peace. It has the sense of security. It has the sense of I'm being taken care of by a Lord who has a subject living in the land. Today, we pray for the kingdom of God to be spread. Is that a physical land prayer? No. It's a person. It's a person. Everywhere you are, the kingdom of God is. Because everywhere you are, you possess the Holy Spirit. And you show something of Christ to that area, to that land, to that place. We will do the same thing when we go to Biloxi. So when we go on missions trips, there's two aspects. There's the personal. Abram was told, I will make you a blessing. there will be benefit to us personally. But then it's also for the land. It's also for the gospel. We will go and affect, I could use the word infect, the land, the people, for God. I ask you to pray diligently for our next missions trip. I pray for you diligently. I pray that you would diligently pursue that maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the family that we're praying for that will take the mantle of missionary from this church. I know God will answer that prayer. I feel such a security in my heart in that prayer that I believe it will happen. Maybe it's you. None of you are too old. None of you are too old. I pray that you would pray that, and I pray that when God causes that yearning in your heart, that you will do as Abram did. He packed up his family and he left. He packed up his family and left. And he really didn't know where he was going. But he trusted God because God did. And in reality, that's all that's necessary for being a missionary. Hearing the call and trust. Let us pray together. Father, I pray that this message would be much more amplified through your spirits than these feeble words were this morning. You tell us when the word goes out that it will not come back void. And so the text has been read and words have been spoken. I pray that you will, Holy Spirit, work in the hearts of the people to hear it and respond to it. And Father, I pray once again that you will prick the heart of someone in this church, whether it be one of our sterling silvers, one of our young couples, one of our teenagers, or maybe the baby in the nursery right now, that you will place on the heart of that person to go to the mission field, that you will lead them to respond to the call, and then place within them a trust that you will bless them, that you will curse anyone who stands in their way, that you will provide everything necessary for us to respond. And Father, help us to be a church that always has the desire to go and help our neighbors as we show the new command through the love of God. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. I would like to ask our missions team if they would to begin making their way to the front of the church. Eddie and Lori Compton, David and Kim Brady, Jeremy Brady, Jeff McNeely, Brian Setzer, Lynn Jenkins, Judy Watson, and of course myself. We have two gentlemen going with us who are not members of this church, Tommy Morton and Paul Millsap, which went with us last time, and they are being taken care of in their church today, but they will join us shortly for lunch as we are sent out and take our place in the mission field. Now, if I could ask all of y'all to take two big old giant steps forward, and if I could ask the elders of this church to come down and make their way behind these folks, I would appreciate it. Elders, let's get us a handful down there. Let's get us a group down there. Thank you, David, for that clarification. Y'all got room, or we need to move forward again? We good? Now, this aspect of laying on of hands is an act of commissioning, but it is an act of empowering and giving authority. It is authorizing. Just here in a few moments, you'll hear in the words that this church is literally sending these people out. And you're sending them out with a particular mission, with a particular scope of work. That's the reason it is a commission. They have a particular scope of work, and when they finish that work, this commission ceases to exist. That's why we have to do it each time we go on a missions trip. But the laying on of hands gives authority to these people to go and speak the gospel, to go and do the work of God, to go and be representatives of this church. All of these elders who are standing behind them at one time in their life kneeled here in the church and had hands laid on them to give them the position and the authority to be a ruling elder. Well, here they're passing some of that authority and some of that power onto this commission, upon this team. And so we do this every time, giving this team the authority to go out and speak the gospel on behalf of this church, more particularly on behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, mission team, if you would listen and respond accordingly as I commission you to do the work. We are here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to commission the Biloxi mission team to the ministry of the gospel of Christ as ambassadors. Now, to each one of you, it is well that we pause to consider the serious obligations and responsibilities of your calling. After our Lord's resurrection, he said to his disciples, "As my Father sent me, even so I send you. And as we send you, you are to share and to show and to live the gospel. You are to be the new command of which we spoke of last week. You are to reflect the love and peace of Jesus Christ to each other and to anyone and to everyone you will come in contact during your work. As you are involved with others, you will have opportunity to share God's love. In this, you will demonstrate the reality of the indwelling Christ in your life and the fact that Jesus Christ is, in fact, your Lord and Savior." I'd like for you to answer these questions, please. Do you accept the Bible as the Word of God? And will you endeavor to present faithfully the message of the Bible to those to whom you minister by your life's actions as well as by your teaching? Will you do this? Do you renew the vows which you made when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and entered into the full communion of this church? Do you do that? Do you acknowledge this divine calling and an inner drive to go forth as an ambassador of Christ in this field of service? Do you? Is it your desire to serve with compassion and with the love of Christ, and to minister to the physical and spiritual needs of the people in Biloxi? Will you do that? Now, to you, the people of New Sterling, do you promise to pray for these every day and promise to uphold them as they are away? If you will, please say amen. Therefore, Biloxi Mission Team, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I commission you as a team to go out and share the love of Christ with whomever you may come in contact with during this week. Gentlemen, if you would, please lay hands on them, and Wayne, slide on in here close on the left side, and make sure everyone's got a hand or two on their shoulders. If you can't reach some, put a hand on the elder in front of them. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through these words of commissioning and now through these prayers and the laying on of hands, We commissioned this team. We commissioned this team with a singular focus to go out and share the love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit. Father, I pray that you will go before this team and you will prepare the way. The hotel that we stay in tonight, I pray it be safe. The roads we travel today and tomorrow, I pray that they be accident-free. Our stay through the week with Samaritan's Purse, I pray, will be free of injury, that there will be no sickness. Father, I pray that not one single person on this team will have any sickness of any sort this week. Father, I pray for Samaritan's Purse that will be hosting and who has done such a wonderful job in the Gulf region. And then, Father, I pray for our travel home that we will be safe. And Father, I pray that whoever we see, whoever we meet, that they will see Jesus Christ in our face, they will hear Jesus Christ in our words, and they will see Jesus Christ in our actions. We commission this team in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.